Hey everyone, this is Jamel Curry. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're back with another episode in our Coca Dona Training Talk mini-series as we get closer to Aravaipa's inaugural Coca Dona 250 on May 3rd. Coca Dona is a 250-plus mile trail race that starts in the outskirts of the Sonoran Desert in Black Canyon City and climbs up into the Ponderosa Pines in the high-altitude mountain town of Flagstaff. The course connects amazing landscapes and iconic towns along the way. These Coca Dona Training Talk episodes will be hosted by our friend Shelby Farrell at Gooder. Shelby will be running Coca Dona this year. She has run a 100-miler before, but this will be a whole new experience for her. So she sat down with several different runners to get some training advice and learn more about their own preparation and race strategy before the big day. In today's episode, Shelby chats with Aravaipa Racing Team member and Tucson local, Brianna Grigsby. Enjoy the episode.
It's Shelby back with another Coca Dona 250 athlete chat. Today I'm with Dr. Bree, aka Brianna Grigsby of the Aravaipa Race Team.
Hey!
Yeah. How long have you been on the Aravaipa Race Team?
So this is my second year on the team. So what? 2019, 2020, and now 2021. So I guess it's my third year. Gosh, I'm losing track of time, but yeah.
That's so awesome. How do you become a member of the Aravaipa race team?
So I applied, to be on the racing team. The applications, you typically go out like December around then. And yeah, they just ask you questions about, you know, your, why you want to be on the team and your running and racing plans. And, I was really fortunate to be selected to be on the team and have like a lot of great teammates. So it's fun to learn from other people and get to hang out with them too, especially at races where there's, you know, more, some of us running, which Coca Dona, there's a couple of my teammates going to be running there too. So Peter Mortimer and then, Drew Fraze that will be running as well. So excited to see those guys out on the course. Although I don't know how much I'll be seeing of them, 'cause they're probably going to be up, you know, way ahead of me, but
yeah, I talked to Drew. He made me want to go to Pizza Cletta after the race, if I'm alive for it. So
yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like the spot in Flagstaff.
Like in downtown Flagstaff, and just having like so many good options. Going to be like so ravenous. And
yeah, I hope so. I did Javelina 100, and I know you've raced Javelina too. Yeah. And it took me a long time to get my appetite back after that one.
Yeah. Well, it's rough when you're like running in that kind of heat too. Sometimes that just destroys your appetite.
Yeah.
So hopefully a bit cool in a little bit cooler temperatures in Flagstaff, maybe we can hope for a better appetite.
Yes. So we can smash that pizza after.
Yeah.
So as an Arizona local, I would love to know everything you know about the course.
Oh God. Okay. So, I mean, I certainly haven't run all of it. I have run some parts of it. I run Black Canyon like just about every year. So, you know, the first 9 miles of the course I'm going to be familiar with, from the Black Canyon Ultras. And I would say, you know, for that section, it's exposed. It's, I guess, you know, was starting in the morning. It shouldn't be too super hot yet, but it will definitely be hot before we reach higher elevations. But yeah, the Black Canyon Trail, is really nice. It's a little rocky in some spots, but I would say like overall, not like super steep. Although there is a climb like about one and a half to 2 miles in to from where we're going to be starting, and it's not that steep of a climb. So like when I'm running Black Canyon, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna run this thing. So I'm just having to adjust my expectations a little bit with the pacing, you know, and just being like, all right, I'm gonna walk the climbs and kind of easy jog the flatter and downhill sections, hopefully. So I know like the enthusiasm and all that race time adrenaline is going to be there at the start, but just like, seriously, folks, walk that climb. Even though it's not that steep, you will thank yourself later. What other sections have I run? So I've run Crown King Scramble before. So some of that is going to overlap. Kind of a similar thing, you know, there's a lot of uphill there in that section and some rolling like ups and downs. So I guess my advice would be to just like pace yourself, like let yourself walk on the uphills, even though you're feeling really good toward the beginning. And then, yeah, surprisingly, so I've lived in Arizona since 2008, but I have actually never been to Prescott. So I'm really actually excited to kind of explore that a little bit during the race. I've been to Sedona a couple of times, but not on the trails that we're going to be running. So it's going to be like actually a lot of new stuff for me too. I have done Mount Eldon, which is kind of a brutal finish. Gosh. So definitely, I mean, that's a pretty steep trail. So I'm definitely going to be using my poles, and my arms are going to be probably doing almost as much work as my legs at that point, because I'm planning, or I'm thinking probably my legs are going to be pretty destroyed by 250, almost 250 miles into the race. So yeah, there's some parts that are going to be familiar, but to be honest, like a lot of it is going to be new explorations for me too, which is why I'm really excited. So yeah.
That's really exciting. Yeah. Was my next question actually, like I done two training runs with poles so far, so feeling good ish about that. I was going to wait till I showed up at the start and saw if people were starting with poles or not. Do you start with poles? Do you save them for strategic climbs? What's your theory on that?
I think I'm going to take them from the start just because, you know, at that first aid station, we don't have our drop bag. And that next section does have like some climbing in it that I think I'm going to want to have the poles for. I'm not super experienced with poles either. I've only run with them a couple of times. I probably should have practiced that more. But I think just having them, I mean, my poles are really light. And to be honest, like it's not that much extra weight. Like that at this, I feel like I don't have to like super minimize the weight that I'm carrying for a race this long, because it's probably going to benefit me if I slow myself down a little bit. So I think I am going to start with them and probably have them with me most of the time.
Yeah. I think that's the next thing I need to figure out is how to strap them on my bag so they don't annoy me while running with them.
So. I've actually not tried that before.
Yeah, we were playing with it on the trail the other day, and I gotta love those Salomon packs, but there's so many cords and clips. You're like, oh, this looks like it.
What's the winner?
Yeah, just stay poles. Yeah. So you know, we have just under 2 weeks. We'll figure that part out. It's nothing.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge?
Yeah, I think just like how long of a race it is. I mean, I've never done anything over 100 miles before, so this is going to be by far like 2.5 times, more than 2.5 times the longest I've ever done. So I think that the distance, and there's quite a bit of vertical gain as well. So, the other thing is just like figuring out kind of the sleeping and how that's going to go. Like, am I going to be able to fall asleep easily? And then I think one of the challenging things is going to be like, you know, once you take that nap or whatever, getting up and kind of, you know, how everything just stiffens when you stop. Getting up and kind of getting back into that groove again. So, that could be challenging. I mean, there's just so many things that can happen in that amount of distance and time. And like, I think just like having the ability to problem solve in the moment is going to be a big key, and trying to figure out, okay, like what's the problem? Like, how can I problem solve this? How can I, what do I need to do to like keep myself going? So I think like a lot of taking that time that you need to like take care of yourself in the moment is going to pay off a lot later. Like, yeah, so it takes a few minutes to change your clothes or change your socks and shoes, or, you know, sit down and eat that meal if you really are, you know, you're feeling like you need that little break. Like, just take care of yourself like preemptively to try to have what you need to keep yourself going.
Yeah, I was just writing an email to my pacers, and I wrote, I think patience is going to be my biggest challenge here. Just,
yeah,
like you said in the beginning too, the hype and holding back.
I went out way too fast. I did not think I was going too fast. So I was like, oh, this is easy. And then, you know, I burned my legs out like so early on in the race, and I walked like the last 30 miles and went from like second place down to eighth place, and like, you know, finished way longer than I thought it was going to take me to finish. And then my second 100-miler, which was Javelina, I was like, okay, that was not smart what I did last time. And I paced myself much better, but even for a 250, it's going to be even more like conservatively that I need to take it. So yeah, that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. Do you have a strategic like pace plan, or do you think you're going to go with how you feel in the moment more than
the hiking the uphills and then easy jogging on the flats and downhills is kind of my overall strategy. And I did a little bit of practice with this in training, and just like practicing, like, how hard should it feel? You know, like, it shouldn't feel hard. Like, if it feels hard at any point, like, I mean, other than, I mean, if it, obviously it's going to feel hard from the musculoskeletal standpoint and, you know, from a lot of angles. But if you're feeling like your heart rate's like through, you know, if you're questioning, what I'm telling myself is, if I'm questioning if I should be going more conservatively, probably the answer is yes.
Yeah. Yep. Good strategy. I like that.
That's kind of my overall gist of it. I haven't really like, I have no idea like how long it's going to take to get. I mean, I had one of my pacers was texting with me this morning, kind of like, hey, like, you know, kind of what time do you think? Cause I have different people helping me different days, and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I think I'll be somewhere between Sedona and Flagstaff like that day, but I don't know. So I think it's no matter how much we plan, there's going to be so much that changes in the moment, and just have to be flexible and adjust plans as you go.
Yeah. So much unknown for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. I wonder, in thinking about the Arizona climate, is there anything, Drew Fraser and I talked about snakes a little bit, any wildlife that you can think of that we should be prepared for as runners?
Yeah. I mean, rattlesnakes, definitely, like this time of year. Though, to be honest, you know, I've been running trails here for years, and I could count on one hand the rattlesnakes that I've seen. But, you know, just give them their space. Like, if it's coiled, like, they can jump like 6 feet or so if they're from being coiled up. So don't try to like jump over it or something, unless it's not coiled. But just give them their space, and it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, they're pretty camouflaged too, so just keep your eyes open.
Yeah. I actually just had my first very close encounter with one yesterday out here in Southern California, and I totally didn't see it. And it was probably 10 minutes from saying to my friend, oh, look out for rattlesnakes, and cruising on this downhill. And I moved so fast over it that when I heard it rattling at me, and that's the first time I've heard one, especially like that close.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and it was just sort of a blurry log across the trail. And I squealed a little and kept going, and I was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, like, if you get bit by one, what your doctor. Tell me what happened.
If you get bit by one, then you need to get to the closest aid station as soon as you can, and you need to probably get to the hospital and get anti-venom. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's serious.
Yeah.
It's not like pour water on it and move on.
No. People, I have seen, so when I was on my ICU rotation in residency, I had this lady there who got bit by a rattlesnake. And I mean, her foot looked awful. Like, you got to get the anti-venom, and you got to get that tree. You don't want to lose your leg, you know?
No,
it's not worth that.
Definitely not.
So if you get bit by a snake, get to the nearest aid station and, you know, DNF and go to the hospital.
Okay. Everybody keep your eyes open, but we'll all be fine. No snake bites at Coconut.
But yeah, don't get bit in the first place. Like, give it its space and keep your eyes peeled. So hopefully you see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nature though. So it's good to be aware of. do you have a snack that you're excited for? I don't know. I've been trying to play around with different food to eat on the trail.
Yeah.
Any exciting snacks you've come across?
Yeah. So something that's been working really well for me lately in my races is avocado and hummus sandwiches. And I find that when I am running, like, typically I have an aversion. I develop an aversion to sweet foods after a while. And I'm like just wanting all the salty stuff. So I think like lots of salty snacks. And yeah, the hummus and avocado sandwiches like have been just, they've saved me my past couple of races. And I've started using them in training as well. So that works out really well for me. That being said, about the sweets, I am going to bake some chocolate chip cookies and, you know, just have like all kinds of options with my crew in my car. So, so that whatever mood I'm in, it's covered. But yeah, what else?
I love that idea of baking cookies. That's inspiring, actually. If I can bake some cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. This might sound weird too, but I actually really, really like drinking celery cucumber juice, especially like in the heat, like the sodium from the celery. And it's the celery cucumber, it's not sweet at all. It's just kind of a little bit salty and a little bit bitter in a way that like it just tastes so refreshing in the heat. So that's another thing that I like to, and I have a juicer, so I just like make the juice. And that's what I did for Black Canyon too, is I had like all my Solomon soft flasks filled with like celery cucumber juice.
I love it. That's so hippie of you.
I know. I kind of am a little bit hippie.
That's so great. Yeah. It sounds really refreshing too.
Yeah, totally.
There's definitely a point where you're just sick of all of your electrolyte options and
nothing. Right. And when you just get sick of like the sweet, because everything's sweet, like, you know, the running gels are sweet and the electrolyte stuff is sweet. And you're just like, oh, I just need something that's not sweet.
Yeah.
But then drinking too much plain water, I've gotten myself in trouble doing that before too, in the heat, you know, and making myself hyponatremic and, you know, getting all nauseated from that and then losing my appetite. So got to stay on top of those electrolytes.
Yeah. Do you have I'm not a good example of a runner that measures things out carefully.
Yeah.
Imagine with your background, do you have sort of a guide of, if I sweat this much, I should be consuming this many electrolytes?
Not like nailed down really. I know just in general that if it's hot out, I can't tolerate drinking a ton of plain water. So I need to have electrolyte beverage, you know, for a good portion of what I'm drinking. And then salt tabs is the other thing. Like, I have to have salt tabs with me. So I ran cold water 52K in January. And I forgot to bring my salt tabs.
No.
And I was like puking at the end of the race. I was like so nauseated. And I just couldn't get my, you know, I couldn't get the nausea to go away. I knew it was from low salt. And at the end of the race, I ended up having to take like 9 or 12 salt tabs before I could like, so I think that I lose a lot more sodium than some people do in their sweat. So I just know like, so I kind of figured out for Black Canyon hour by hour, how many salt tabs I should be taking. And so I think like for me, kind of like if it's hot out during the day, like kind of 2 to 3 an hour seems to work pretty well.
Okay. Can you overdo it with salt?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you can. So that's the other thing. And the other thing that's difficult is that the symptoms of hyponatremia, low sodium, and the symptoms of hypernatremia, high sodium, can be similar. And the symptoms of dehydration. So the first time I had like low salt, I thought that I was just dehydrated. This was when I first started trail running, and I went out for like a 20-mile run in May in the heat. And I was just so nauseated at the end. And I just like, oh, I must be dehydrated, and just drinking more water. And I just started feeling worse and worse. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, like the symptoms of low sodium could be similar to dehydration. So maybe I should try eating something salty. And that fixed it in like a matter of minutes. Cool. So if what you're doing isn't working, then probably you need to switch something up.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
That's some great advice. let's see. We cruised through my questions really quickly. Anything that's just like on your mind that you want to share?
I'd like to know, what are you most excited about? Or do you have a part of the course that you're like really like wanting to see during daylight or?
It's all going to be so new to me. So I'm thrilled that we're running through so many different landscapes to go from the Sonoran Desert into Red Rocks to Ponderosa Pines. I think that's going to be a really neat mental switch too. I'm finally getting my crew and pacers, the logistics locked down a little bit better.
So much to plan.
Yeah, so much. And it's such a big ask. So I don't know. I had this strategy of planting the seed with people when I first found out I was doing Cocodona, and then hoping that they'd like, yes, I'm in, but then I don't know. So I circled back to some of those original planted seeds and watered them a little, and they're in. So
yay.
I probably shouldn't have hesitated on that and could be a little further along with this planning, but I do really look forward to running with friends on course and just sharing that experience with, you know, not only my pacers and crew, but anybody I meet out there. Like, I think, you're starting in the first heat as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I imagine that will be.
Yeah. Let's share some miles.
Yeah. That's going to be so cool. And I think that's a part of trail running that COVID sort of took away from us a little bit, in the sense that we had these smaller wave starts, and I kind of went on a FKT mission after Javelina in October, which is fun, but super fun, but definitely more of a solo adventure. Whereas the camaraderie and community is something that Aravaipa just crushes. And
Totally.
Yeah. I think we'll get to experience that out there, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that too. And just to be able to share, like, I mean, Arizona is, like you were saying, just such a diverse state. And I didn't even know, you know, until I lived here, how diverse it was. And I think people tend to think of it as like a kind of a, oh, it's just like a desert. And it's like so much more than that. There is, you wouldn't even believe, you know, that you're in the same state. And some, you know, you're going to be on one part of the course and you're going to be like, am I still in the same state? Like, it doesn't, it's so different. But I'm excited to like share that beauty with my friends too, who are pacing me.
So. Yeah. How many pacers do you have planned? Like, what's your pacer plan?
So my friend from California, Mandy, is going to come and she's going to be there the whole time. And then I have a few other friends, one from Tucson and two from Flagstaff, who are going to be there, you know, 1 or 2 days at a time. So I'm still trying to plan out all the logistics of how I am going to have a pacer and get my car. I would like to get my car, you know, from the start to the finish and have that be the crewing vehicle, but then also get people to where they need to be if they aren't able to stay for the whole race. So it's just like trying to plan out all those logistics right now. But I will have, yeah, the four of them who will be pacing me for different sections. So Mandy said she's down to pace for 100 miles total, of course, with breaks.
Go
but
Mandy.
Yeah. Yeah. She loves to run. So, but I can't. I mean, so do I. So
You're in good company.
Then the others will probably be running with me. So one of my pacers has a race coming up like the week after. So, you know, he can't run too far because he's got a taper, but so the others will probably be running for shorter stretches with me. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll feel good once I have that figured out a little bit better for them.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think it's cool that we have the spot trackers because then they can see like where I am and like what pace I'm going all the time and kind of helps with planning the crewing, I think.
Yeah, I think that's going to be immensely helpful for them because, yeah, I'm not going to be texting them updates regularly, you know? I mean, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that's so nice to be able to rely on that spot tracker to tell people where we are.
Yeah. Ah,
I'm so excited.
Me too. Nervous and excited.
Yeah, it'll feel really great to just get in the car and be driving to Arizona. So
yeah. When are you getting in?
I think the Saturday before the race. I'm trying to figure it out with a pacer currently. Maybe we'll leave her car in Flagstaff and then kind of kidnap her and drive to the start and camp there till it starts. And then I was debating camping versus getting a hotel room. I don't know. We have a pretty comfortable tent air mattress situation.
Yeah.
I think I can get enough sleep in that.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So much to look forward to. Yeah.
So much to look forward to. Well, our time's almost up. Thank you so much for meeting with me. And
of course, my pleasure. It's been fun chatting with you.
It's been really
excited
great.
To chat with you more in person while we run /walk/.
Will you be there on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll probably be getting up there on Sunday is what I'm thinking.
All right. I'll be keeping my eye out for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Enjoy.
I will see you then.
All right, that does it for today's episode. Thank you to our friend Shelby for doing these interviews, and thanks to our guests for sharing great training advice and insights into their own Cocodona race preparation. We've got a lot more trail running content coming your way soon, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. And if you've got the time, consider leaving us a review. It really helps us out. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jamil Curry. See you on the next episode.